Well, welcome this morning, and today we're going to continue with our look at the Gospel of John. We're just working in the first chapter at the moment, so today we're going to be looking at this idea that's contained in the opening words of that Gospel: in the beginning was the Word. And so we're going to be exploring this morning the idea of the Word and its power to save each and every one of us. The Word is divine truth, and it's by means of divine truth that we are able to come to understand what love really is all about. And so if we respond to divine truth as we understand it, the Lord then is actually the one who is leading and directing us, because, as we shall see, the Lord is the Word. Also, just take this opportunity to encourage you, if you have a Bible, to bring it along in the coming weeks, because we're going to be working out of the text. And it is good to have the text before you as we work from it, because sometimes the way translators word things is not quite right in terms of its accuracy linked back to the original Greek text. And so we will see this a little bit today as we look at these first five verses of John's Gospel and explore them from a spiritual perspective. So I just encourage you to have a think about bringing your Bibles along and something to write with as well. Okay. Because today we also are going to be participating in and in support of Norm's baptism, a wonderful step, and we are privileged to be here as a community in order to support this step that he is making in his faith today. So we look forward to that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, you came into the world to subdue every form of evil and falsity, that people could be maintained in freedom. That freedom you alone could secure, and no power can take it from you. You present us with the way, the truth, and the life, which is yourself, moment to moment, urging us to choose life over the death that is our selfishness. Lord, you are present in every good thing. Every loving thought and action is from you. Lord, may the light of your intelligence guide us into your wisdom, that we might see your presence in every situation we enter into in life. Draw our thoughts and affections ever closer to your own, that we might see the power of your word resurrected in new ways as we seek to follow after you. Amen. And now, Lord, hear us together as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. So our reading from the Word this morning is from the Gospel of John, reading chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness shines in the light, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And our reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is a selection from a few paragraphs of the work The Apocalypse Explained. Reading Apocalypse Explained 392, 433, and 741. The reason why the Word is the Lord is because it is divine truth, and all divine truth proceeds from the Lord. For it is in the light in heaven which illuminates the minds of the angels, and also the minds of men, and communicates to them wisdom. The Word signifies the Lord as the divine truth proceeding from his divine love. Hence it is that they who love the divine truth which is in the Word, by doing it, are in the love of the Lord. When man does good from the Word, that is, because it is commanded by the Lord in the Word, he does not then do it from himself, but from the Lord, and the Lord is, for the Lord is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. To understand the message of John's Gospel, we have to have a clear understanding of the teaching set forth here in these opening verses. These opening few verses of John set the framework and the reference point for understanding everything else in the Gospel. And so what we take from here will have a direct bearing on how we perceive the things that are to come. Where Matthew and Luke open with the Lord's birth into the world as an infant, and Mark begins with the Lord's public ministry as an adult, John seeks to lift our vision, to behold the true nature of the Lord, and so clarify us for us the nature of the divine's contact with the human race. And this he declares in the closing chapters of his gospel. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, he says this: "Then truly did Jesus do many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John testifies concerning himself in John 21, verses 24 and 25. "This is the disciple witnessing concerning these things, and writing these things. And we know his witness is true. And there are also many things that Jesus did, which if they could be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books." Amen. And so we come to the gospel with this purpose in mind: to behold the Lord himself, not as a historical figure in time, but as the living Word, ever present and working in our midst for our salvation. In declaring the Lord to be the Word, we are being directed towards the eternal truth that he himself is the divine truth, and that genuine truth is not something abstract, but really constitutes what is truly human in its essence. You see, truth doesn't exist outside or apart from the human mind. Just as love cannot live apart from a heart able to give it expression. Truth is the means by which love or goodness comes to be seen. This is why John challenges us to view the Lord as the Word, for in it we behold the divine humanity of the Lord, as the Word, as the divine truth. And so we are able to see what love in human form is really meant to be like. For having once seen it, we then have the basis for reflecting on our states of life. And from the insights we gain there, through doing this, we can then enter into the spiritual work with the Lord, a work focused on our spiritual growth and development, or our regeneration. But the first principle we must have firmly grasped in our minds is this idea that the Lord is the Word, and that the Word is God. God is the Word. Now, the word translated beginning, as in the beginning, or in the case of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. This word has levels of meaning, and it can be seen in the Greek. Yes, it can be translated in terms of time, the beginning of time. But the word here is the Greek word arche, which can mean, yes, the beginning of time, and this is how the natural mind takes this word when it's naturally read in a natural context. But from a spiritual perspective, its other meanings more accurately convey the spiritual reality that sits behind this simple word. Spiritually, it can be translated as source, or the first principle from which all things that are take their existence. The scripture here teaches that the origin of the Word is God, and that God is the Word. How are we to understand this? Well, when we see that the concept of Word is interchangeable with that of divine truth, then we can begin to read this opening statement as that the origin of divine truth, that is the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The origin of divine truth is the divine good, or love, which is what we understand by the term God in these opening verses. And it is clear that God is love, and that love is meant by God, because in John's first epistle, in 1 John 1:4, 16, he declares that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. What a powerful statement. And so from this we see that when the gospel speaks of God, he is speaking of his understanding of God, who is love. Now, just coming back to that opening verse there, where it says, "And the Word was God." And the Word was God. In the Greek, the order of the words Word and God are actually reversed. It should read, "And God was the Word." Here is a subtle difference. But the original word order is important from a spiritual perspective, because by placing the word God first, placing the word God before the word word, we see that God or love is first, and that the word or divine truth is from love. This is a central teaching of our church. Love is first, and from love comes truth. And so truth always leads back to love. So when we speak about truth, we're not talking about abstract ideas. We're talking about what leads us to be more loving and understanding people. That's the truth. That's the true witness to the gospel, the quality of our life. So ideas that are true produce what is loving. That's how we know what truth is. We see then that all that is truly substantial as far as human existence is concerned takes its origin from divine love and is given expression as divine truth or the word. You see, what is truly substantial for all of us, what is truly lasting, are things like love, mercy, compassion, goodness, truth. These are the things that make up a genuine human life that is able to reflect the goodness of God. So love is given expression as divine truth or the word. So why? Why does love express itself as truth? Well, it's because as human beings we are designed to receive love into our hearts or into our will, and truth into our understanding. And by means of those things, we are to give it expression through our bodily actions in useful services to others. Now, this is not only the proper order of life for human beings, but it is the essence of what we call the spiritual life. Spiritual life is not something airy-fairy. It's something very practical. And it is contained in the uses we can perform. And it becomes spiritual when we acknowledge the Lord in the midst of that. That's where the spiritual life lies. We work within on those things we need to work with, so that we can better express God's love in the useful services that present to us each and every day. And when we are doing this, we are walking in the spiritual life. But the human heart has become so resistant to the loves of heaven due to its self-interest that it has lost any attraction to what is good for goodness's sake. And it is this pursuit of good for the sake of what is good, the pursuit of truth for the sake of what is true, that the Lord seeks to re-establish within our life. That's what he's wanting to do. Our natural man is so dominant at times and so immersed in itself that without truth to teach us what love really is, we remain slaves to its lower desires and will only pursue what is good when we are motivated by self-interest. And that's what the Lord seeks to straighten out. The fact that we struggle to live from a love that has the genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others as its focus shows us how far we are from the ideal. It shows us that we have work to do. So we can know just by reflecting on our own states a little, by reflecting on our motivations in the light of what the Word teaches, that human beings are born in natural loves, natural desires, natural lusts, and so they are out of order, or the order of life for which the Lord intended for us. And it is this disorder, this focus on what is natural, that is the source of all evils and false perspectives or beliefs that keep us and rob us from what is heavenly. Rob us of our spiritual inheritance. And so it is, in order to get hold of us, in order to appeal to us, God therefore reveals himself to us as truth. He appeals to our reason, or he presents love in a form that is reasonable, that we can understand and take hold of if we want to. In simple terms, his appeal can be summarized as, resist evil, do good, live by the commandments. He gives us an understanding by means of the word that evil living brings unhappiness into our lives, whereas a life lived for good produces a meaningful and fulfilled life. These are, of course, generalizations, but the principles stand as true. While we may not want to or feel like doing what is right at times, we can certainly understand that living a good life is preferable to living an evil life. We can understand that. That's reasonable, isn't it? We can see this. We know this. And so we can come to understand what genuine love is, if we want to. And when we understand what genuine love is, this then enables us to freely choose to act from the truth we see, despite how we might be feeling. We can go against those feelings and act from our understanding of what is good and what is true. In appealing to our understanding faculty by means of truth, the Lord gives us the ability to see what is evil in our motivations and affections, the selfishness, those things that are contrary to the divine life within our natural man, so that in examining our motives, we can choose what is higher. We can live from what is higher. You see, the Lord has to present himself as divine truth, as the Word, because this is the only way he can get to us and have our freedom maintained. It's the only way a person can be regenerated and saved, because it's the only way that our sense of self, which is intimately related to our sense of freedom, can remain active in spiritual matters. What do we mean by this? Well, it means that truth presents itself outside of us. In the outer part of our mind, we can read it and learn it. And it can sit there. It doesn't force us to do anything. But we can choose from what the Lord has implanted within us to take hold of that truth and live from it. So we are left in freedom. We have to choose, but the ability to do that, to make that choice, is from the truth the Lord has given us. So it is the Lord Himself in us, but it will always feel like us because it's so important that our freedom is maintained in spiritual matters. We are under no compulsion whatsoever to come to the Word and learn from it. No one can force us to learn spiritual truths and principles from the teachings that make up the heavenly doctrines for the new church. If we want to grow, we need to be prepared to work, spiritually speaking. In the natural world, if you want to eat, if you want a life, if you want shelter, if you want clothing, you've got to work. You've got to work. And the principle applies to the spiritual life. There are no quick fixes in the spiritual life. You must be prepared to work. Won't always feel like it, just like we don't always feel like heading off to work when we get up in the morning. But we do it because we need to do it to have our needs met. If we want to grow spiritually, we have to discipline ourselves in spiritual disciplines. And one of those is coming to the Word, learning about the teachings so that we can understand the Word better and apply it better in our daily living. We can only work spiritually when we do so in freedom from our understanding of the Word. Without doing this, we risk remaining in our sins. So John tells us that our God is the Word, and if we want to be saved from the destructive evils that make up a self-centered life, then we need to come to the Word, learn of the Lord there, and live from the truths it offers us. That is the order for our life. Ultimately, the Word is the source of everything lasting and eternal. Everything lasting and eternal. In fact, it is the only source of what is truly lasting and eternal. And this is what is meant by verse 3. John 1:3, all things came into being through him, and without him not even one thing came into being that has come into being. We're just going to work with this a little bit, because there's a few things been added into this text that isn't in the original Greek. And it makes a difference. It makes a big difference in how we understand this. See, the way it's framed, the natural man takes hold of this and thinks materially. In fact, it can't go beyond a gross material understanding of truth. But when we give a more literal translation, ironically enough, we shall see that the material things of the external world are not what are being spoken about in terms of these things coming into being. And this is also clear from the wider context of what this chapter is dealing with. For when it speaks of all things coming into being through it, it speaks not of the material world and its objects, but of the coming into being or spiritual rebirth of what is truly human within us. It's the inner creation that's being spoken about here. Now listen to this. This is how this verse should read literally. All came into being through it. That is the Word or divine truth. And apart from it, not even one came into being that has come into being. Just read that again. All came into being through it. And apart from it, not even one came into being that has come into being. What word is missing? Things. The word things isn't there. In fact, most Bibles will have it in italics. It's been added by the translators who have focused externally and thought it would be a good thing to clarify the verse. But in clarifying the verse, moved it away a little bit from its spiritual sense. It shouldn't be all things came into being, but all came into being. Similarly, it is not even one thing came into being that has come into being, but not even one came into being that has come into being. Now the very next verse makes it clear that the context has nothing to do with the material creation, but is a comment on those principles that govern the spiritual creation or the regeneration of the human mind. Because if you read it, it says this. In it, and notice that the personal pronoun, him, isn't there. It's not in the Greek text. It's been added by the translators again to try and clarify things for us. Again, in a good translation of the Bible, this will be in italics to let you know that that is the case. See, this passage is seeking to draw our focus away from historicals, away from the material world. It's wanting to draw us into the spiritual elements here, to see the word as divine truth. And so the Greek actually reads, in it, that is, in the divine truth, in the word, is life. Is life. That is true life, or spiritual life. That is love. And the life was the light of men. Or spiritual love are what enlighten and bring to view in the human mind what is truly human. Love, mercy, compassion, goodness. What this is saying is that all who have true existence, all who have come into being, that is those who have spiritual life, have come into being by means of the word or divine truth. Truth that they have freely chosen to live from and make a matter of their life. And that no one, that none can come into being or become spiritual who hasn't used truth to resist the evils of their selfish attachments in order to promote spiritual goodness. Now it begins to make sense. Surely we can see that the light that shines in the darkness is the light of truth that breaks into the intellect of the natural man who is darkened by selfish tendencies and lusts. And that when it says that the light shines in the darkness, and here's a slight difference in translation again, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. Okay. Some translations have did not comprehend it, but it's not right. This is about darkness taking hold and suppressing the light. But what it's actually saying is the opposite. That for those who take truth into their life and live from it, the darkness can't overtake it because it's established in the heart and mind of the person as their life. As their life. When we take truths and lived from them in an effort to deal with the things we find within ourselves that stand opposed to the spiritual life, then the light we receive is such that it can't be extinguished, because it's the Lord. It's the Lord there. And that light is life. It is our spiritual life. We are brought into being for the first time, born anew from above, as we awaken to the spiritual life. In the beginning was the Word. The very first principle of spiritual life, the true beginning, the arche for every person, is when they see that God is the divine truth, when God is seen to be the Word. This is the source of all light for our life. And so when lived from is in fact the everlasting life itself, that everlasting life belonging to the spiritual man, or what is genuinely human in us all. Amen.